Welcome to Shoujo, the anime podcast where I, Sarah, introduce my friend Joe to Shoujo anime series. We are on our fifth series now. Undoubtedly the best series we've covered so far, The Rose of Versailles. And we'll be covering episodes 34 through 36 today. And then just two more episodes of this, and then we're back to the mundane. Isn't that right, Joe?
That's right. We said what we were going to do, right?
Yeah, so we did. Chihaya Furu season two.
Yep, then we're back to high school.
Yeah.
Actually, no, wait. We're going to watch the movie. And then
we're going to watch the Rose of Versailles movie and then back to high school.
The 2015 movie that they made. We're going to watch the first like 10 episodes again
2015?
As a movie.
I thought there was like a super recent one. Oh, I
thought it was 2015. Sorry. I probably did.
Okay, gotcha. So that's what we'll be talking about today. But before we get to all of that, what have you been up to, Joe?
I am. So it's the evening. We're recording at
evening
time today.
You're drinking a beer like a grown up.
And I'm drinking I have come into the possession of a lot of Corona beer. Because I went to a friend's like going away party because he's going to go to like an internship for a couple months. And I'm like, what's a fun thing that maybe my friends haven't drank before? Like, what's a fun little goofy thing to do? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I can make a Di Serono, which is like the combination of amaretto because it's Di Serono. And Corona, if you combine them together, it kind of tastes like a flat Dr. Pepper. My friend was like big on this a couple years ago. And I'm like, I should make that for them. That'll be fun. So I bought some Corona and I brought it over and I opened their fridge and there's an entire other case of Corona in there. And I'm like, well,
sweet.
That's not great. And then at the end, his girlfriend was like, I'm not going to drink any Corona and he's going to leave. So you need to take all of this. So now I have two like things of Corona.
Oh.
So that's what I have. I'm not super in love with it, but I got it.
I think I've maybe had a sip of one once, and I feel like it had more flavor than some of the other ones I also sipped.
You don't like beer though, right?
Nope, I don't.
Because of the carbonation?
It's just the flavor. It's
flavor.
Not good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't do it for me. Oh, man. So.
Yeah.
Wasted Joe recap.
That's right.
This week
I'm gonna get more drunk progressively over the course of this.
Yeah,
that would be funny.
Yes, maybe a bonus.
We'll do that
episode.
For a bonus episode. I just get drunk when we talk about Jurassic Park or something.
Yes,
might have to be for Jurassic Park 2. Yeah, we're gonna record that soon, so that'll be out.
Yeah, that's my bad, guys. Sorry. Yep. Just a little delay on that bonus episode for The Lost World. But coming soon. Anything else besides beer, or that's been the highlight?
I have other updates. I have finished Gears of War Tactics and thus finished my replay / brand new play of all of the Gears of War games in the franchise. AMA. What do you want to know about it?
Is the art style the same through all of them, or are they less bulky in some of the games?
You play as like, I feel like the further you go, you play as less huge dudes, but they're still pretty big dudes, you know what I mean?
Okay. And you play as a chick in one of them?
Yeah, in Gears 5, you play as what's her face? The plot of Gears 5 did not stick with me.
That one wasn't good. And then everyone's going to be like, oh, it's because it was a female protagonist. We'll just go back to the dude protagonist. That's what worked for us.
No, that one was good.
No. Okay.
That one was good. That's the one that had like, it had like open world sections. So like each level was like a big open world part. And that was actually not that bad because it's like a big hub world. And I kind of enjoyed that for the most part. The plot was confusing though. That's because extending Gears of War beyond 3 just doesn't really make any sense. And it like, 4 and 5 were both kind of fun to play, but ultimately they were just bizarre and weird. So That was, and then, you know, you had Tactics, which is an XCOM clone. And that was interesting. Awful boss fights. Just terrible boss fights in that one. Did not enjoy any of those.
Maybe an hour of XCOM when it first came to the Xbox. Mm-hmm. I don't like permadeath. Not that characters are as, like, you know them as well, but well, nice. Look at that. Accomplishedness.
I did it. Completed. I also played the short video game Mouthwashing. Uh-huh. I think that won some kind of Steam award or something at some point.
I've never heard of it.
Good little 2 to 3 hour game. I believe it's by the same people that made How a Fish is Made, maybe.
I don't know that one either.
Well, it's a cool game about a bunch of people on a delivery ship that gets wrecked.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little spooky.
Yeah, I'm too basic to be playing these cool little games.
You could play small games. They're small.
I try to think what the smallest game I played is. Maybe like Gone Home or something. It's probably like as short as it gets for me. I don't know. Catherine, 10 hours is short to me, but that's still not that short.
Yep. Did I talk about Ain't a Dream Barbecue last time?
No.
Probably did. I also what played, if you want to play a free Steam game, you can play Ain't a Dream Barbecue, a cool, I guess, kind of walking simulator. That's part of the Aina series of like indie YouTube animation.
I was going to say, I've never heard of this.
Yeah. Do you want to like just talk to a bunch of weirdos and do a bunch of weird stuff? It's good. I'm here for it.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Cool. Well, that's fun. I don't know that I, let's see. I started after I watched The Lost World. I was like, maybe I'll just reread the book. So I have not gone far, but start reading the book again. Let's see. Watching, I'm on to season 4 of Survivor now. The intro of one of the most recognizable contestants ever, Boston Rob, his debut.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of it's unfortunate. You know what? It's like, oh, he's okay, because he's like a jerk now. It's like, okay, cool. He was a jerk then. He was just so handsome that I guess people just they got suckered into it.
It was okay. If you're hot enough, you can get away with anything.
Yeah, I think listen to them back then more. Let's see. I started patch 8 Baldur's Gate with the ultimate betrayal to Joe patch 8 playthrough with some other friends. There's been 2 sessions so far, but I also, since I had it installed, started or picked back up my Dark Urge playthrough, which is in act 3, and got a little bit of that done, so I'll wrap that up soon. And then, because I am like running out of storage, Baldur's Gate and Monster Hunter both on my PC is taking a lot, and in the Shoujo audio files as well. So I gotta get better at my, I gotta get more storage or figure something out. Is anything else? I feel like I watched an anime, but that might not be true. No, Rosa Presley, I guess, is the only anime I watched. Yeah, I don't know. Nothing crazy.
Oh,
on
wait.
My end. What?
Did I talk about how I finished the Chimera Ant arc in...
Oh, God. No, you didn't. Let's hear it.
What's it called? Hunter Hunter?
Is there light at the end of the tunnel, or is it just a total waste of time? Okay, cool.
There's like
so
one
not
cool.
The best arc ever.
There's like a what? There's a cool storyline. Like the Gon storyline in that one is cool. The problem is that it only makes up like 20% of that arc, and the other 80% is full of a bunch of stuff that does not matter and I do not care about.
Gotcha.
The 20% is good. It just can't make up for the other 80. Like, I'm sorry. It's just, it's not enough to make up. I don't like care about like the other little henchmen. I only care about P2. Yep. I don't care about the flying guy. I don't care about the guy that's red. They don't matter. I don't care about King. He also doesn't matter. Who cares? Yeah. Bad. The arc was way too long and focused on things that did not matter.
Dang.
Well, that is my official stance on
your throw it. Is that all that's out now, or is there stuff beyond that?
There is like one more arc beyond that. We kind of started it, but didn't do it because we're watching some other stuff. We're taking a little break from Hunter Hunter.
Gotcha.
While we watch some other stuff.
Oh, I have been seeing footage, and now I want to watch it. That Devil May Cry Netflix animated series. I've heard good things about it.
Have you?
And it's voiced by Johnny Young Bosch.
I'm going to be everything I see about it looks bad.
Okay.
The trailers. But there's something about like the way it's executed. You know what I mean? Like there's something.
And they use good music.
Okay. Maybe I need to give it a try then, because I feel like I've seen clips, and the clips I was just like, this feels like a PS1 game in terms of like,
do you mean you the like 3D,
like the sound direction? It's both like the way it sounds and the way it looks.
Yeah, I've never played. No, that's not true. I've played like maybe an hour of Devil May Cry 5, but I'm not like a franchise player, but it seems like it has boosted the sales of the entire series on Steam from the Netflix series, so that must be decent. I don't have Netflix though. Yeah. I'll find a way.
I mean, it could be fine. One of the things we started Lazarus, which is like some show that's kind of like a heist, but not really. I'm pretty lukewarm on it.
It's animated? And
yeah, it's an anime. It's like it's like an Adult Swim one, I think.
Oh, okay.
And then we started another one, but I don't remember what it was. I don't know. We've been trying them. Just before this recording, I watched the first two episodes of Witch Watch, which is a
that's a fun name.
Yeah, it's a manga I like reading, because I'll read like in Shonen Jump or whatever. It's just like a gag comic for the most part. I mean, the first part has some like actual plot stuff, but I like the gags because they're just weird. It's just like weird. Like, what if you just imagined a weird guy? Like, one of the characters is just really into like raw denim jeans, and there'll just be random chapters where he just talks way too much, and everyone's just like, why do you know about this? You're like a high schooler. And I just think that's funny.
It's best genist.
Yeah, basically.
My Hero Academia.
I watched Sakamoto Days. That's it. We watched the first two episodes of that, or the first episode of that.
No, I'm thinking something else. I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's about like a retired hitman that works at a convenience store.
Okay, nice. All right.
Seemed fine.
Yeah.
And then I watched an insane show. Sorry. There was one called To Be Hero X. And that show, I don't think, is very good. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of what's happening, but it's so wild. Like, stuff just keeps happening in the show, and it just makes basically no sense. And it's great. It's like, it's all over the place. I watched like two episodes, and it's just like, so much stuff, and it's weird, and it doesn't make any sense to me, and I'm constantly just being like, why doesn't he just fly away? Like, why doesn't he just leave? No explanation for why that doesn't happen. But To Be Hero X is like this dude becomes a superhero because the previous superhero kills himself, and like the superpowers are based on like your being an influencer, basically. It's extremely bizarre.
Like, the more followers you have, the stronger you are.
Yeah, like if the audience believes in you, you get more powers. And also the thing they want you to do dictates what kind of powers you have. I mean, it sounds like a nightmare, like if that's how things really worked in real life. But it's just like 10 things happen in the first two episodes, and I'm just like getting whiplash. So I don't know if it'll stick the landing. I'm guessing it won't. But these first couple episodes, if you want to feel like you're getting like hit with a big rush of water constantly, check out To Be Hero X, I guess.
I can't and don't think that I will be, but yeah, I guess I've just been reading a lot of web comics lately, so nothing. Mm. And then like, right, those aren't very well known, or at least the ones I'm reading are, but yeah, so nothing. I gotta start doing more exciting stuff again.
Exciting.
Not that I ever do, but I need things to talk about on the podcast. I live a real life.
These one episodes of the show that I watch, like.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I just you just think on it more, so you have more like vigor to talk on it. And then I'm just like, yeah, I watched this show. It was good. And then not go into any detail about it.
Yeah, well, it's hard to know, especially if you like, because the problem is that like most of the stuff I watch, I'll probably just like drop halfway through, in which case there's not really much to talk about because I'm like, well, I didn't really see this through. I just got kind of bored. And that's not fun just to say.
Oh, I guess I did. Let's see. I did go out on Friday.
Okay.
Kind of an abnormal. I don't know. I was just feeling kind of down. I had Friday through today off work. And I just kind of was having a bummer day on Friday. So I just went and got dinner at this restaurant that is near a bar strip that's close to where I live. And met some people who were there eating, and then they invited me to hang out for the night. So we just went to like a bar and
you met people at dinner that you weren't having dinner with?
Well, I was eating at a bar at the bar. Oh, in at the restaurant. Bar.
Okay. I was about to be like, that's so like the most like impressive thing I've ever heard.
Bunch
like
of different people at the bar. But yeah.
That makes sense.
Yes. But that was fine. So that was something. They're not exchanging contact info, so I'll never see them again.
Just go to that bar again.
Look at me.
Eat at that bar.
Hanging out with strangers and making it out alive.
You just got to be a regular at a place.
I did recognize one bartender at one of the bars we went to because he was there when I went to that ladies meetup thing. And he was wearing a one piece shirt with Zorro on it.
So
I complimented it. And then he said his favorite anime is Death Note. And I was like, oh, okay.
That one's good.
That's cool, I guess.
You don't like Death Note? You don't like...
I never finished it.
Oh, it's so crazy.
I got close to finishing it, but I never finished. I don't know. I do like the name Ryuk. Is right? That's the name of the monster?
Yeah, Ryuk.
I like that name.
Guy who eats apples and doesn't do anything. That's because Light's the bad guy.
Protagonist.
He's like ridiculous.
I don't know. I am like, oh, it'd be fun to have a Death Note. You know, just like, don't cross me.
Yeah, I'd be
me.
Killing some people, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be jotting down names just to practice my handwriting.
But that's like such a like 2009 favorite anime series,
well,
you know.
I was talking with Jenny, friend of the show Jenny, about this.
Yeah.
I feel like all of my top anime from like, you know, that I put in like my top whatever, 10, 15, are like all. Like the latest one we found was Mob Psycho, which came out in 2016. But like that's the only one in that decade. Like 2010 is like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. And then like for the last 15 years, other than like one or two shows, like nothing compared to like stuff that came out earlier. You know what I mean? Like when I think about all of my favorites, they're like early 2000s or like the 80s. Or like some of the 90s. It's just like, I feel like stuff just is not like, it's fine, but it's not like, you know, it doesn't stick with me. I'm not like, well this is an all timer.
If it's like, or at least a lot of the series I like are like, all the protagonists are always like in high school. And maybe it was like at the time being the same age and like not having as many things going on in life. Like it was easier to like get attached to a series or like, you know, like you couldn't just willy-nilly necessarily, you know, just go on and find the next episode or whatever.
Do you think it's binging? Is that it?
I definitely think that's part of it. I don't know if it's just because now it's like none of these shows are like, maybe I'm more cynical or something. Like I'm trying to think of like the last new series. I mean, I've been enjoying The Rose of Versailles a lot.
Yeah, that would probably be my
most
top
recent
something.
New series I've super liked.
It's hard.
Like without a doubt, because there's like parts of shows I like that are more current, but like they're not contenders for the top.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, we'll have to do it. Maybe we'll do a bonus episode where we do our own anime.
Do like
rankings.
Our tops.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Because I feel like this is a thing. Because again, like I was looking at lists and I'm like, well, there's stuff. Like I liked Little Witch Academia. Like that's fun. I wouldn't put that in my top, but like I'd recommend it to somebody if they wanted something to watch. Mm-hmm. Like it's cute. And I just felt like that with a lot of them, where it's just like, yeah, this is fine. Like, you know, this is like a cute little show I watched and I had a good time, but nothing to write home about. I don't know.
And then it's like, oh, if I like the manga more than the anime, is the anime still like a favorite of mine? If I'm like, oh, it's just not as good as the manga.
Yeah. Well, it's weird for me because like I didn't start watching anime until I was like in college, basically. So I don't even have like nostalgia for most of this stuff.
Oh, I guess that's true. Well, I mean, Pokemon's like the only anime I consumed as a child, I guess.
Yeah, I watched Yu-Gi-Oh, which like is fun, but like it's dumb. I only like the dub because the dub is absurd.
It's crazy. Joey Wheeler.
Brooklyn Hounds, Joey Wheeler. He's so good. Oh, man.
Yeah, no. Well, we can talk more. We should do like genre or time anime, whatever, something. We don't have time for that. Because today we're talking freaking history happening and it's the happening. Rose of Versailles.
It is.
Fun times are over for real.
Yeah, I know. We're like really in it now. Yes. I've been listening to Revolution's podcast, so I have some historical context that I remember maybe. Mm. So if you have questions about stuff, you could just go on while it's happening. Yeah, so let's get into it. The Rose of Versailles, episode 34, is called Now the Tennis Court Oath. We open on a deadlock at the Estates General. Oscar and her men have been guarding the Estates General the entire time that they've been in session, and they're all extremely tired. We see Robespierre give a speech about how the first two estates only represent 4% of the population, and they should be taking their cues from the third estate, which represents the other 96. We hear that some of the liberal-minded nobles, like the Marquis de Lafayette and Duke Orléans, I guess, are siding with the commoners, but most of the nobles remain in opposition. Outside, Alain and André speculate that Oscar is looking kind of pale as we see Oscar standing in the rain, hoping for a new future for France. She starts to cough into her hand, and we see that she's coughing up blood, which, you know, I've seen a movie. She's totally going to die from this. She's so dead. No. As the OP plays. No. This comes out of nowhere.
Because this is the episode when we went to watch episode 17 on Plex, that this was the episode there instead. Yeah. And I'd watched up to this point, and I was like, oh, no, Oscar's sick. So I was expecting there to be more, like, build up.
You knew that, this. Like, I didn't. Okay.
Yes.
I didn't. When I watched the episode, they're just like, the Estates General. And I'm like, well, that can't be right. So I stopped.
Okay. No, I went further than that because I wasn't thinking. But yeah, no, I was like, okay, cool. What is this, like, tuberculosis strikes again?
I guess.
Kills everybody.
Is that a lung disease?
I just think of Okita from Hakuoki, the Shinsengumi dating series, and he has it. But I feel like that was a definite big killer with the like blood coughing.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah, that seems like TB. Hanging out too much with Joseph, Oscar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's just never acknowledge that happened.
Anyway, we return on the narrator telling us that on June 17th, some defectors from the first and second estate joined with the third estate and declared themselves the National Assembly, France's new governing body. They just do this. Back at Versailles, King Louis and his ministers discuss the National Assembly and declare that they've got a problem. That's a problem. They can't just be declaring themselves a governing body. That's not how this works. Oscar, Alain, and André are called into General Buell's office. He tells Oscar to close the doors to the National Assembly. If the representatives can't get in, then they'll all have to go home. This is an order straight from the king. And Oscar's like, well, okay, but like the king isn't legally allowed to order this. Like only the Estates General can dissolve the Estates General. So this is like, this is not legally backed. And Buell is like, well, that's why I'm not ordering you to dissolve the Estates General. I just want you to kick them out of the building. And Oscar's like, come on, man. Like, there's no way that's going to work. Like, they're all going to know what you're doing. And Buell's like, listen, the king's in charge and we're nobles. And we take orders from the king. So just go do your job. And Oscar's like, fine, whatever. And leaves. Outside, Oscar's like, well, shit, what am I supposed to do? And Alain's like, well, we kind of got a direct order. It's like a really stupid plan anyway that isn't going to work. So I guess we'll just do it and let the politicians sort it out. We cut to the French guard locking down the meeting hall. Robespierre is there and like demands to see the officer in charge. So Oscar comes to see him. Robespierre says that all of these representatives are spending a lot of money to stay in Paris for this, for the Estates General. And, you know, we need to make some progress or it'll be a problem. But then some of the other electors are like, forget it, man. Let's just meet somewhere else. Hey, let's go to the Jeu de Paume and tennis court nearby. That'll be big enough for all of us. And they all head off to a tennis court. And Robespierre gives a speech about how outrageous it is that the king thinks he's able to disband the estate, the National Assembly. He's not allowed to do that. All of the representatives there take the tennis court oath, which declares that political authority is derived from the people and their representatives instead of from the king. Alon walks up to Oscar and is like, yeah, see, he told you, they just work it out themselves. This is a big historic moment.
Yeah, I guess what the sport was called something else before it was called tennis, or this is the precursor to tennis.
Yeah, it's like a precursor to tennis.
But they call it the tennis oath.
Yeah.
Or I guess these are old buildings, maybe just not being utilized anymore because something.
It looks like it's like some sports stadium that just like probably has tennis in it right now. You just go there and give little speeches and then they're like, yeah, we're the National Assembly. King's off his gourd doing this stuff. Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Later, Oscar is informed that under orders from General Buell, Colonel Chaussier-Labaume, will handle admitting the representatives to the National Assembly. Or I guess the Estates General. Here's the thing. Half of the Estates General has declared themselves the National Assembly, and the other half just still call it the Estates General, which means people are just calling this thing whatever they want. Oscar is like, fine, whatever. The narrator tells us that the king summoned the National Assembly again, or the Estates General. But this time, they only opened one entrance to the meeting hall, and they all needed to be called in one by one. We see the Estates General members being let in one by one while it pours down rain on them. However, soon it becomes clear that General Baume is skipping all of the Third Estates representatives. Everybody starts to realize what's happening, including Oscar and the French Guard and all of the people just outside, because there's a huge crowd being like, hey, man, what are they doing? Eventually, Oscar's like, hey, Colonel, what's the deal? And he tells her that he was told to only let the first two Estates representatives in from the front, and the Third Estate members will have to enter through the back. And Oscar's like, are you kidding me? But the colonel just laughs and said he's just following order. Oscar grabs him by the collar and is about to kick his ass, but Robespierre stops her. He's like, we're willing to wait, but we are not going to suffer the humiliation of walking in through the back door. The colonel laughs at Robespierre, saying, because he's like, yeah, see, they'll sit in the rain, whatever, it's not my problem. And Oscar's like, fuck this, and flips the colonel over her shoulder and orders her men to open the rest of the doors.
Yeah, this was like, oh, thank goodness, Oscar's not gonna just go down with the ship.
Not going down with the ship.
This is the moment.
It's so good.
Yep.
The Third Estate members walk in while the colonel accuses Oscar of treason. She says she was just doing her job because, look, if you kept them out in here longer, the big crowd would have erupted into a riot and then we would have had a huge problem on our hands. So I did my job as security, and the Estates General is able to convene. We cut to King Louis being told that the monarchy is under threat from these representatives. You have to do something. We cut to King Louis presiding over the National Assembly. He shows up in person and he nervously tells him that he's called the Estates General, not the National Assembly. Stop calling yourselves that. Also, like, go back to being the Estates General, and nobody reacts. So he panics and declares that he orders all of them to leave right now and nobody moves.
Yeah, get wrecked.
It's
nobody
embarrassing
to you.
He's like so nervous. Oops. And like,
yes,
and just nobody reacts.
Well, yeah, it's been 20 years, very little character progression with him.
Dude, all these people hate you. You walked into the meeting of people that hate you.
For real.
We learn that everybody who's declared for the National Assembly has refused to go home and are staging a sit-in in the assembly hall. General Buell hears the news and dispatches the colonel to bring Oscar and her men to him. They go, and Oscar is summoned in alone. Alon's like, I don't know if we should just let Oscar go in alone. But Oscar's like, nah, it's fine. And then Alana's like, hey, Andre, you should just go with her just in case, you know, something crazy happens. And he's like, okay. Andre is kept outside while Oscar meets with General Buell and his officers. Buell tells her that her and her men are relieved of duty for letting the Third Estate representatives in today. And he's like, I could have you court-martialed, Oscar. And Oscar's like, I'm not afraid of a court-martial. And Boyle's like, I'm going to pretend like you didn't just say that. Anyway, none of this matters because I have a new mission for you anyway. I want you to go arm your men and then go to the assembly hall and forcibly remove all the reps from the so-called National Assembly. You could do whatever's necessary. You're authorized to open fire on them if you need to.
Oh my God. Absolutely insane.
Oscar's like, are you out of your mind? I can't shoot lawfully elected officials. But Buell says that they're traitors, so they're not protected by the law anymore. And Oscar is like, no, and refuses the order. So Buell's like, well, I guess that makes you a traitor, too. The officers in the room point pistols at Oscar as she's arrested. Buell's like, I'll just give your men the order myself, and tells his guys to keep Oscar here. Andre sees Buell and some of his men walk out of the room, so he goes and waits closer by the door. Oscar looks out the window to see how her men are going to react to the orders. Buell goes out and tells Company B to go clear out the assembly hall. The men are stunned, but most of them start to scurry off until Alon tells them they need to wait for orders from Oscar. Buell's like, listen, man, I'm the chief general of the army. You should follow my orders. But Alon is like, nah, we're going to follow the chain of command. I only take orders from my direct superior, which is true. This is how chain of command works. In total.
Is it?
Yeah, like you.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Like your boss's boss can't tell you what to do?
No.
Oh, I didn't know.
Like, unless
that.
There's like some circumstances where that, like, that isn't true. But generally speaking, you need to get orders from your direct boss.
Okay. Good to know.
Yes, this is important. This is how, like, yes, military cohesion breaks down if your officers decide to do other stuff. Which might become very relevant soon in this show. In total, 11 men stay behind with Alon, and they are all arrested. Buell returns to Oscar and tells her that she trained her men well and, you know, to make them so loyal to her. Oscar asks what will happen to those men that were arrested, and Buell tells her that they're going to be executed, obviously. Oscar says that punishing her will be enough. He should let the men go, but Buell tells her that they need to be killed to set an example. Oscar says that removing elected officials will be a stain on the army, but Buell tells her it's fine because the army's not going to do it. We got the Royal Guard to go handle it instead, and then he leaves. Oscar's like, all right, that's it, and she tries to make her escape, but she's tackled to the ground, so she calls for Andre to help her. He rushes in and frees her, and they both make their escape. Elsewhere, we see Ghirardelle and the Royal Guard right up to the assembly hall. Oscar and Andre rush off to stop them as we cut to credits.
It's... escalation.
She did it.
Yes. I'm so glad.
She's on the right side of history. Woo!
Yes. Yeah, it's good to see. And we get to see how she is with Marie Antoinette now, which is good because, you know, on the series is like Oscar's just blinded by her, I don't know, affections towards Marie Antoinette. So it's nice to see that that has dimmed and won't jeopardize her morals.
Yep. Nope. This is great. She like suplexes that guy or throws him over her shoulder. That's great.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yes. I don't know why people, and we keep seeing this and we have seen this, but like everyone just laughs in response to like, why are you doing this? And it's just evil laughs, which just makes no sense. Oh, goodness.
I'll tell you, no, they're a sneering villain. Do you think this is going to go well for the king? King seems to be doing pretty bad.
Yes.
We didn't see Marie this episode, though. We get her politics next episode, and that's interesting.
Yes. Well, maybe she was still grieving for their child that just died. Not that they say that at all as her reason for being absent, but...
Sure, that did just happen.
Yes. I don't know. Like, what is the people, his council, who are like urging him to do all this just for their own benefit? But like, if you push him and this goes badly, doesn't it just go badly for you guys too? Like, yeah. What are you doing?
Let me tell you, it's going to go badly for them.
Ugh.
They're all gambling. His ministers are like trying to keep the nobility in there.
Look how bulky this recap has been for one episode.
Dude, I wrote 4,000 words for these three episodes. I guess we'll go. We'll move on to the next one because the next one's pretty wild. Episode 35 is called Oscar. Now is the time to leave the nest. We open on Oscar and Andre's escape. They ride to the assembly hall while the narrator recaps the events of last episode. After the OP, we see Ghirardelle at the assembly hall ordering the National Assembly members to disperse or else. Nobody moves, so Ghirardelle orders the Royal Guard to get ready to rush in, so they start to dismount. The Marquis de Lafayette calls on his fellow liberal nobles to stand up in front of the rest of the assembly to block the Royal Guard. They all draw their swords and declare that even though they're nobles, they stand with the Third Estate. And Ghirardelle's like, listen, man, your noble status is not going to help you here. And all of his men start to advance.
Suddenly, well, I like that I thought they were just going to bail. They're just going to be like, JK, we're not with them anymore.
They just leave.
You're just going to run away. Yeah.
Nah.
So I was pleasantly surprised.
No, Lafayette's legit. We're going to find a different guy who is not legit, but I don't think he was here.
No. Where is he?
I don't know where Duke Orleans is. Suddenly, Oscar and Andre arrive on the scene and she rides her horse between the groups. She tells Ghirardelle that if they want to get to the National Assembly, they're going to have to go through their old commander, too. And then she blocks the way and the Royal Guard all hesitate about shooting their former commander. Ghirardelle looks at her for a long time and then finally sheathes his sword and says that they could never attack a former commander. The Royal Guard could never live through the shame of that. Ghirardelle tells Oscar that even if this brands him as a traitor, he'll do this for her. And they exchange a look, and then he orders his men to withdraw and they all leave. So I guess that happened.
Yeah, I was going to say he could have embarrassed him in front of everyone. Been like, remember when you proposed to me and I rejected you?
I mean, this is this is sweet. We like, you know, at the end of the day, I do kind of like Ghirardelle, even though he's an idiot.
He did better. This is better.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be.
It's like, he doesn't actually have the same authority over them that she did.
Yeah.
Even though he's now their commander. So it would have been like, if he hadn't done that, then maybe they would have not followed commands in front of her.
I do wonder what Ghirardelle's politics actually are, because I know he's been like one of the more disillusioned ones. And I'm sure that like sentiment amongst the royal guards, whose job is to protect the royal family, is different than like Oscar's men, who are there to protect Paris.
Yeah.
So like totally different priorities. So yeah, it's, you know. Anyway, that ends. Back at Versailles, Buell and co tell General Jarjais that his daughter is a traitor and the Jarjais family should be punished. The king's like, I don't know, man. My wife really likes them. Maybe I should run this by her. But General Jarjais says not to worry. He'll handle this himself. We cut to the Jarjais manor, and General Jarjais calls Oscar into his study while holding a sword. Granny's like, hey, Andre, what the heck's going on? But Andre's like, I don't worry about it. I'm sure nothing ridiculous will happen in the next 10 minutes. In the study, General Jarjais tells Oscar to sit down. He unsheathes his sword and tells her to prepare herself. And she's like, for what? And he tells her that that she's being defiant up to the end, huh? Do you have any last words, daughter? And Oscar's like, yeah, actually, I have a lot of last words. 12 of my guys were just arrested and I need you to free them. You know, if me dying would do that, then fine, I would die. But seeing as it won't, I can't die here, Dad. And General Jarjais is like, well, that's too bad because you're a traitor. So I need to do this. And then he's like, don't worry, I'm going to kill you. And then I'm going to kill myself. Problem solved. Dad of the year. he raises his sword ready to strike when suddenly Andre bursts into the room and tackles him. Andre, the general, struggle while Andre says he'll never let him hurt Oscar. Andre then pulls a pistol on the general. And he's like, if you insist on killing Oscar, then I'm going to shoot you and elope with her. And the general's like, are you for real? Are you serious right now? He's like, listen, man.
Statement.
It's just like, what is happening? First off, Andre, you're a commoner. You can't marry a noble. What, you think you could just bridge the class divide like it's nothing? Like, this is just a bunch of arbitrary fake bullshit? And Andre's like, yeah, more or less. Then the general's like, but nobles need the king's approval to get married. You're never going to get that. And then Andre goes, I don't think you really need the king's approval to marry somebody. I feel like you could just marry somebody. But General Jarjais has had enough. He smacks Andre, who just takes it and gets the upper hand on everybody again. Granny comes in to see what's going on and is horrified at the scene. The general says he won't forgive them, and Andre places the pistol on the ground and says, "Fine, you could kill both of us as long as you kill me first. I don't want to see my beloved Oscar die in front of me." Just give it up.
Okay. What is happening?
I wouldn't do this.
It's not like Andre saw the thing she was saying to Person. So he's like under the assumption she's not into him still.
Yeah.
And he's making these claims.
Dude, he's crazy. Down bad, all right? I do think him the pistol's a bad idea. You should commit. If you're like, "I'm going to shoot you in a lope," you should shoot him in a lope. That doesn't happen, though. Instead, the general raises his sword again and is like, "Fine, you first." But then outside, a messenger rushes into the Jarjet's manor, and he screams up that he has a message from Versailles. They let him in, and he reads a decree from Marie that Oscar and the Jarjets have been pardoned and won't receive any punishment. The general turns to Oscar and Andre and tells him that they're a bunch of fools that just got lucky. And then they all tear up. He was going to kill you.
Yeah.
He was going to kill y'all. You shouldn't just give up.
Where's her mother?
Yeah, good question. Where's she?
What the hell is happening? Oh, man.
I didn't even think about that. I always forget she has a mom.
Maybe she did die after she was.
Maybe. Her fictional mother. Ugh.
Yeah.
We cut to the prison of Abayi, where Alon and the other 11 men are being held. They talk about what's going to happen, and Alon just tells them that they're going to have to defend themselves at trial. Suddenly, a man enters the cell and tells them that they're all going to be executed in 5 days. And Alon's like, "Wait, what? You can't just sentence us without a trial?" But the guy says that there was a trial, they just weren't invited, and then laughs at them. And Alon is like, "Well, shit, I guess that really is the end for us." Elsewhere, Oscar's walking around incognito.
Yeah.
It's very funny. She's like a big hat.
I see a new outfit. Yep.
Yeah, it's really good. I like her being like a little like Cold War spy. It's very funny. She meets up with Bernard and she asks him to help her free her 12 subordinates. And Bernard's like, "Yeah, okay, cool." She wants him to hold a rally of like, I don't know, 3,000 people around the execution grounds. If he and his guys can threaten to riot, she'll be authorized to request a release of the men from their execution on, you know, the sake of security, right? So, like, we got to let them go or they're going to riot, you know, a little strong arm action. And Bernard's like, "Yeah, I mean, that's like a pretty good plan, except for the fact that they could actually riot and I wouldn't be able to stop them." And Oscar's like, "Don't worry about it. I promise it'll work out. If it doesn't, I'll agree to do whatever you want. I'll just join your team. You want me to do like a backflip? I'll do a backflip. Don't worry about it." And Bernard's like, "Yeah, okay. Sounds like a good plan." Oscar leaves, but mentions that she wants to meet up with Rosalie soon. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, that'd be cool."
You think she's ever going to see Rosalie again?
I think so.
She's going to die from tuberculosis.
Nah,
first.
We got 4 more episodes. At Robespierre Cathedral headquarters, because he's headquartered in like a cathedral or something. Bernard tells Robespierre the plan. They're all on board. And then suddenly Saint-Just just gets up from a pew because he's like taking a nap or something. And he's like, "Why are we even doing any of this stuff? We could just start a riot at Versailles if we want to make this all go quick." But Robespierre tells him that you can't just rush into stuff. The methods matter, man. You got to do things in order or else everything will descend into anarchy. And Saint-Just is like, "Whatever, man. That was just an idea. Okay, calm down." It's the next day, and Oscar leads the French guard on duty to patrol Paris. There's going to be a large crowd protesting the execution. So she's like, "Listen, you absolutely cannot like fire on these guys or threaten them or whatever, or everything's going to turn into a riot. So everyone just be cool." Okay. The French guard head out to the rally being held by Bernard. The guardsmen listen in and realize that they're talking about Alon, and they're like, "Oh shit. They're like trying to free our buddies. That's great. We're all on the same side." In the crowd, Saint-Just sees Oscar and says that if he kills her, it'll cause a crackdown in public gatherings, which will incite even more people. And that'll cause a riot. And he draws his phantom killer mask and makes his way towards her. Bernard's speech is coming to an end, and he starts directing people to march towards the execution ground. Saint-Just, now just mere feet from Oscar, pulls a knife and attacks her. She sees him at the last moment and catches the blade, and the crowd moves as Oscar and Saint-Just struggle to the ground. They fall into a sewer grate, and Oscar is able to get free. In the sewer, the two of them fight, and Oscar is able to slice and just mask, and he runs away. This is all one episode. There's like 1,000 things happening.
I know. It's okay. Why is he? Is he like recognizable enough that she would know who he is?
I don't know. I don't I really don't know if it would be like, so it's you
into hiding, like, the face. Yeah,
who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, I didn't even realize really until they say it in this episode that he's a protege, just like Bernard is to Robespierre. I just thought he was like a goon in their midst or something.
No, I mean, San just is a real guy. He's got a Wikipedia page.
No. Oh, okay.
He does not live to be very old, let me just tell you. Let's see. Meanwhile, the crowd goes to the execution grounds. Andre searches for Oscar and finds her emerging from the sewers. She's like, how's the plan going? And Andre tells her that like 5,000 people are there. So that's like a way bigger turnout than we expected.
It looks like she got stabbed or something.
She does look pretty beat up.
Acknowledging, like, she's holding her arm like it got sliced.
I mean, I can't imagine, like, maybe she landed on her shoulder when they fell into the sewer.
Ah, that's true. Maybe there's that.
At Versailles, King Louis and his advisors are freaking out about a huge crowd. They're like, ah, shit, we gotta do something or these guys are gonna riot. And then Queen Marie shows up and asks them why they're even hesitating. Just release those 12 guys. We can't let the whole city burn down for what? Like 12 guys? That's stupid.
First good call we've seen from her.
Yeah, right. Alon and the 11 others are released to massive cheering. Alon goes up to Oscar and she tells him that it wasn't her or Bernard that did this. It was the power of the people that freed him. And Alon's tells her that she's starting to see how the world works now, and they shake hands. The narrator tells us that the 12 freed men were only the beginning of things to come as we cut to credits.
Yes, small surge. And a big surge coming.
Yeah, no, I don't think anything bigger happens than this. You know, I can't remember anything that happens at the French Revolution. Mm-hmm. It's a bigger event. Nope. And 12 guys getting freed.
Yeah, I guess this is right. You just piss people off. They're the majority. Not advisable, guess.
Nope, not great when you're like, I can't control the city or the people in it. You know, the city that's like 15 minutes away from me. That's not great.
What do we think the population of Paris at the time is?
Oh, it's pretty big. It's probably the biggest city in France by like a lot.
Even though they've all been like dying off over the decades, but I guess still enough people to pose a threat.
Yeah, I mean, like any number of people is like more than a threat, right? Let's see, Paris in the 18th century with a population of around 500,000 people or 600,000 people.
Okay, they're good. They're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, if you got a riot big enough. Also, a lot of these people just have guns.
Yeah, I guess.
As we're going to see it next episode.
Just Lucy, I don't know what the weapon laws looked like back then.
Yep.
But, yeah, continue.
Yeah, do you have any other thoughts about that episode? Oscar scheming with Bernard, that's great. Think that'll continue?
Yeah, I thought Bernard was going to get stabbed by, I thought he was going to get killed by Saint Just for a second. I was worried.
Oh, yeah.
Rosalie was going to lose the only happiness she's had.
I think it would be really funny if, like, Oscar goes to a meeting with, like, Bernard and Robespierre, and then Saint Just is there, and he's like, oh, shit, you're on the team? That's so funny. And it's just like, it doesn't care at all. I think he'd
be pleased about it.
I mean, he doesn't seem to care. He's just like, whatever. Like, he's just targeting Oscar because he's like, well, if I kill an officer, that'll be like a whole event. That'll be a news story.
I guess so. she knew he's the one that stabbed her dad.
Yeah, I can think he has the mask on.
Yes, right? We'll never know.
It's so funny.
I guess it's interesting, right? Because this happens so shortly after Oscar leaves the Royal Guard. So I wonder how different things would have gone down if Oscar had still been in the Royal Guard.
Yeah, it probably would have been bad, honestly, because then she would have to, like, nobody would have been there. Do you think she would have cleared out the National Assembly if she wasn't there to stop herself?
I am not sure.
I don't know.
Right, because I feel like it would just be that she feels obligated to protect Marie, and like if that's the step it takes to do that, but or maybe Oscar would have tried more to like plead with Marie for reason.
Yeah, but it was General Buell couldn't have ordered that because he's not responsible for the Royal Guard, so it probably would have been Marie or King Louis or something. I don't know who would have ordered her if she was in the Royal Guard.
I don't know, but yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of factions. There's the army, there's the Royal Guard, there's a French army, like this and that.
We're going to learn that the army is not one thing next episode. No. And maybe calling them all into the same place is a terrible idea.
Yep. A lot of factors leading to the downfall. A
lot of factors.
Because the king doesn't know anything about anything. No one has eyes on everything. So no one can make the right call because they don't have all the information.
Nope.
Ugh. Nope. Okay. Let's do it. The password. Okay. Sorry. I just missed the title.
Episode 36 is called, is it the password is farewell? Is it the key? What is it?
Is that right?
That's what my episode had. I don't remember what the
name of it. Okay.
I think it's something like that.
I guess. Okay. I know what it's referring to, but yeah.
Yeah. It's not really a password in that case. I don't really know what it would be then. Whatever. It doesn't matter. we open on former finance minister Jacques Necker explaining that France's financial situation is dire and that he's also gotten dismissed before. And he's telling this to Robespierre. How much do you want me to talk about what this guy's deal is?
Is this the guy that the Revolutions episode is talking about with the necklace thing?
No. Because
they're talking about some financial something or
he's
other.
Like a financial whiz kid guy that like everybody liked, but the problem was one, he wasn't French, and two, he was a commoner, so all the nobles hated him.
Gosh.
And he was like supposed to come in and fix France's situation, but the queen hated him and everybody hated him, so they got rid of him. And then all the like commoners who like him because he's a commoner are like, you're just firing this guy for no reason, and that's what's happening. So he's been fired once already. And Robespierre is like, I'm going to get you reinstantiated under, you're going to be under the National Assembly's protection this time, because the people love you. And Necker is like, cool, but the royal family hates me, so like, I don't know how you're going to do that. Robespierre says to avoid a riot, they'll have to make some financial reforms, and he's the only hope for that. So it has to be you, or nobody will accept it. Outside, protests rage on while the OP plays. We return to Oscar visiting Marie at Versailles. Marie complains that a lot of the nobles have left Versailles and it's pretty empty now. Also, the royal family is broke and had to sell some silver to fund Joseph's funeral because that just happened. Anyway, you seem kind of busy, Oscar. You didn't have to come here in person to thank me. But Oscar's like, well, I was almost executed for treason. So, yes, I do actually need to come and thank you in person. And Marie's like, yeah, well, we've been friends for 20 years. So, like, I wasn't going to let that happen. Come on. Marie tells her that things are bad right now, but don't be worried. We've called in the army and they'll be here numbering in the hundreds of thousands to protect France. It's Paris. I called them all to Paris. I've called them myself and we'll dissolve the National Assembly and quell any uprisings. Problem solved. And Oscar looks on horrified that this plan is not going to work.
Well, it's wild. I mean, right? The country was doomed because they had two dummies running it. But one of them, who is supposed to be calling his shots, is too timid to. So then he's leaving it to his wife, who hasn't been given the same education to have the knowledge to appropriately do these things that she's having to, because her husband won't.
Yeah. Not great optics when your wife, the Austrian Habsburg, is going to call the army in to come put down the people of Paris. Let me just say.
Yeah, that's true, right? It's not even her people originally. That's even worse.
We cut to army soldiers pouring into Paris. Back at the barracks, Andre gets Oscar to go on patrol, but catches her during a coughing fit. He's like, uh-oh, what's happening? And she's like, it's just a cold, don't worry about it. He leaves and opens, and she opens her handkerchief to see more blood and says that, as she suspected, it's a lung infection. Tuberculosis, baby. I'm dying.
They didn't say that.
I just said that.
Yep. but yes, it's looking bad.
She's not getting any better. Then she remembers the end of her conversation with Marie, where she told her that the French guard might be called upon to put down the uprisings too. And when that happens, I'll be relying on you, Oscar. And Oscar's like, the narrator tells us that the royal army has shown up and is putting Paris on lockdown. We see Robespierre and other commoners trying to win over the army soldiers. Elsewhere, rioters are getting into fights with the army, and the army has also started imposing curfews. It's a bad time. Everything's on lockdown and tensions are high. Oh, also, there's a massive food shortage at this time. Did I mention the massive food shortage? Yeah, it's like a big problem. This is like a big important thing that they're out of food.
And then add a bunch of occupiers that are going to have first dibs on that food.
Yeah, we brought a bunch of people in here to beat you up when you complain about not having food. Also, you don't have food. This is going to go well. Mm. Back at the Jarjay's Manor, Oscar is getting a portrait of herself painted. The painter says that he saw her once 20 years ago during Marie Antoinette's first visit to Paris. And Oscar's like, oh, yeah, I remember episode 4 or whatever. He's like, yeah, I saw you on that horse and I was blown away. And Oscar's like, yeah, those were good times.
Yeah. I guess getting the portrait done because she knows time's ticking. She's
super going to die.
Yes. Poor Andre.
Elsewhere, Robespierre is informed that Duke Orléans and like 2,000 demonstrators have gone to Versailles to demand that Louis abdicate the throne in place of Duke Orléans. And Robespierre is like, that's what his plan was? That's not going to work. Whatever. We can just ignore it. Who cares? The only thing that matters right now is that we get Necker back in the ministry and he gets his reforms through. They never comment on this again, so it doesn't work, is my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well. We cut to Necker meeting with the king and the ministers of Versailles. He recommends that the king legitimize the National Assembly. Otherwise, nobody will be able to ratify any of these financial reforms. The other ministers are like, we can't legitimize these guys. They just invented themselves as a governing body from nothing. And it's run by commoners. We can't do that. And King Louis is like, oh, man, I don't know what to do. Later, we see Marie chastising King Louis for even considering legitimizing the National Assembly. You can't just let them reform the monarchy. You'll be sidelined. You'll be like one of those idiot kings in England who don't do anything anymore. She tells him that they must stand up to them or he'll lose all of his power.
Is that so different from what he's already not doing? I think, honestly, it's a great deal. You get cush position, but then the expectations are gone that make you so nervous.
Right? You know, like, what if you were just, like, the mascot of France? You know, the king is the mascot.
Care about, God, doing anything for the good of people. So they just want their lush lifestyles. So as long as you have that, just get out the way.
Dude, this is the most that's like King Louis is not up for this. Like Louis the 16th does not have it. Back at the Jarjay's, the painter calls it for the day. He comments that she is visibly ill now as he leaves. Oscar's in a bad way, but barely recovers before Andre comes to see her. She's like, how's it going in Paris? And he says that freedom has disappeared. Then Andre asks Oscar what's going on, because he can tell something's happening, but she refuses to say anything, and we get a shot of Oscar's portrait where she's on a horse.
Yeah, if you're not going to tell her about your only eye going blind, she doesn't tell you she's dying.
Everyone's just keeping secrets.
Lie to each other. We're also not going to address him saying we're going to elope. That's not a thing.
Nope, we're gonna shove that down along with everything else.
No time for that. Yeah.
Nothing has changed, Rosalie. Nothing has happened since when you left. Everything's the same.
No. Eek. Oh boy.
Back in Paris, Saint-Just asks Robespierre why he's being so hesitant. If he wants, you could just send me. I'll go kill the king and queen right now. Like, nobody's at Versailles. It'll be super easy. And he's like, listen, we all know Necker's reforms are not going to, like, work. They're just going to be, like, a temporary thing. We should just solve problems with violence. Who doesn't love that? But Robespierre says, no, we're not going to solve problems with violence. We're going to solve problems with solutions. And Sanj just leaves because he's like, that's dumb. Robespierre calls up Bernard and he's like, listen, there's something wrong with that boy. Can you go keep an eye on him? And Bernard's like, you got it, boss.
Yeah, I just... Like, dude, you failed in every attempt. What makes you think you'll be successful in assassinating the king and queen?
Like, we've seen him kill that guy through the roof once. That's his only confirmed kill. Like, he shot the wrong guy and didn't even kill him.
In the middle of nowhere with no defenses. So,
yeah, he has a bad track record.
Yeah. Not good.
You know who else is bad at doing espionage? Bernard. Son just walks around Paris, tailed by Bernard in the most obvious way possible. He turns a corner and sees Oscar, Alain, and Andre. They're talking about how the Royal Guard has everything locked down, so there isn't much to do on patrol. Oscar asks Alain how he thinks this will all turn out, and Alain's like, I don't know, it's probably going to end in a revolution. And she's like, a revolution? And Andre's like, yeah, that sounds right. like the American Revolution. And they're like, yep, probably like that. Oscar turns because she thought she saw Sanjust just now, but he hides at the last second. And Oscar and co leave as Sanjust also avoids Bernard because he caught on to the most obvious tale of all time.
Well, Andre and Alon volunteer to go check it out, and she's dismisses them. Just, you know, just do it. Just go. That's a subordinate. So just go check to be sure.
Oscar is like very dismissive of her own safety, just like constantly.
For sure.
Oscar, Alon, and Andre roll up on an army checkpoint. The army soldiers tell them to leave, but she's like, listen, man, we're on patrol. We got to patrol through this part. But the soldier's like, there's nothing to patrol. We got it on lockdown. So get lost. And Alon comes and knees the guy in the gut. He says that country boys should return to the country, and they all get into a big fight, and he fights like five of them. We cut to Alon trying to recover, and Oscar's like, let's just call it for today. We don't really have to patrol. This doesn't really matter. Alon tells her that if it comes to revolution, the people will win. You've seen it yourself, Oscar. The army has no cohesion at all. Elsewhere, Sanjust gets the drop on Bernard and accuses him of following him. He goes for a stab because I guess he's just going to kill Bernard, but Bernard is good enough to block it because Sanjust is really bad at killing people. He backs off and says, like, what's all this about, Bernard? Why are you following me? But Bernard accuses Sanjust of being too bloodthirsty. Why can't he just do what Robespierre says? And Sanjust is like, come on, man, you're not actually falling for Robespierre's like good government shtick, right? He's just after power, just like everybody else. He wants to be the man in charge. You know, he's just like Duke Orléans. And Bernard is like, no, he's trying to reform France and make it better for everybody. Is that so bad? But Sanjust says no human being can ever be trusted. Everybody lives and dies only thinking about themselves. I just want to do as I please. I'm just better at murder than speeches, which he's not even that good at. Besides,
nope.
What you all do isn't really that different from what I'm doing, right? We're all just going after the elite. We're just doing it in different ways. And then he leaves. And Bernard is like, what the hell is wrong with that guy? This speech makes no sense. And I agree. This speech makes no sense.
Yeah.
He's just so on
well,
one.
Basically he's just saying, do the stuff that the people I'm trying to kill are doing. So it's like, you're not.
But they're not even doing that. Like, the king is not like having random people assassinated either.
Well, they were like, go, if anyone fights, resists, just shoot them at the assembly thing.
Yeah.
Not that they all necessarily knew that, but yeah, it's.
Again, like, Sanjust is just like so on one, being like, you know, Robespierre, the Duke Orléans, they're basically the same guy. Like, no, they're not. They're not the same guy. This is very different. Ideology is real, Sanjust. It's just not real for you. Also, you're not even good at murder, my guy. You couldn't even murder Bernard.
Nope. He is the Black Knight.
He is the Black Knight. That's true.
Blind Andre.
He did beat Andre.
And now they're buddies.
Now they're everybody's friends again. That's why I just think it would be so funny if they joined the team and Sanjust is just like, oh, hey, okay. Be a little weird about trying to kill you. Not that weird, though, because I'm Sanjust and I'm a little weirdo. Anyway, back to it. Back at Versailles, Marie banishes Necker for insulting the king's policies. He just goes. Word gets around that Necker was dismissed and nobody is happy about it. Robespierre tells his men that now is the time to take up arms. But one of his guys is like, whoa, wait a minute, dude. Necker isn't like dead. He's not even like out of France yet. We could just like go get him. But Robespierre is like, no, it's time for arms. We get scenes of Robespierre's men riling everybody up. He gives a speech doing the same thing. And Bernard watches on and wonders if Sanjust was right about Robespierre. Is he really just after power? I guess it really doesn't matter in the end, as long as like the results are better. That's kind of the thing that matters, right? And I'm like, yes. It does matter who's in charge and what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep.
Elsewhere, Oscar appeals to Marie to remove the army from Paris. The royal family cannot be killing their own people. That's tyranny. Marie asks her if it came to it, would she side with her? And Oscar says that she's no longer in the royal guard, and they both start crying. Oscar repeats her appeal again, and Marie says no. Oscar leaves, and Marie says that it feels like it'll be the last time they ever see each other. They exchange farewells as Oscar leaves. The narrator tells us that in the end, their long-standing friendship was unable to triumph. In the streets, the people go into revolt as we cut to credits.
Au revoir, whatever.
Au revoir. The password. You've unlocked episode 36. Yes.
God, Marie Antoinette's just stubborn, and this is just another example of that. But I guess maybe she just knows it's going to be bad and she doesn't want to look wishy-washy at the end.
So the thing about this, and listening to this podcast helped, is that this is actually not a bad plan in terms of, like, what if I just use the army to quash all dissenters? The problem is that plan only works, like, the plan would have worked if she was in Austria, because you could trust the Austrian army. Mm-hmm. Because if you call in the army to the capital where you live, you really got to be certain that they're going to follow your orders. The problem with the French army is that all the stuff that the people are mad about, that the commoners and the Third Estate are mad about, and like the officers and all that other stuff, is the same stuff that the people in the army are mad about.
Yeah, so not much reason to stand up on her behalf.
So calling 100,000 armed guys who may or may not be on your team is maybe not the best move of all time, let me just say.
True.
Makes sense on paper.
Yeah.
But there's a reason they haven't done it up to this point.
She saw for herself that nobody likes her. Is she dumb or is she just naive?
I mean, she's pragmatic, right? Like, she understands that if they let the National Assembly become a ruling body, then they're like, all their power in the monarchy is going to be washed out, which is true. I mean, they would just do that, right?
Well, do you think they would have let her live if they had gone that way, or
probably would have let her live?
Eliminated her.
I mean, the thing is, like, they're going to play their hands so bad it gets them killed. Most of the hands I feel like that could have gone down doesn't get them killed like this. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you did just invite the army to occupy a city full of starving people who've been angry at you for a decade. So it's not like there's any way this was going to turn out well.
Yep. Well.
And Oscar's like, I'm not going to help you when that happens.
Yes, I'm so relieved this is how it's going.
Oh, man, I was so happy. I'm like, yes. Oscar abandons Marie, the best thing to happen in the show.
Okay, we only have 4 episodes left, and we need some kind of conclusion to the Andre Oscar romance. We need what's going to happen with the illness of Oscar and Andre's eye. Yep.
They're both going to die, right?
Revolution, killing. Surely they will. So that's going to be a bummer. No one left has that much to look forward. I guess Rosalie and Bernard, if they both make it out, they'll be our happy ending.
Yeah. It'll have to be them. I mean, they're also
just all the characters that we've known in the cast up to this point are about to be donezo.
Yeah, that'll have to be it. All because, like, you know, both Rosalie and Bernard are made up characters, right? Like, they're not.
Oh, that's true. They're free from the
would get out.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, it doesn't go good for Robespierre either. I mean, that'll be past the end of the show.
Yeah.
It's like the next thing that happens. Well, I guess I don't know. I don't want to spoil it for you.
Yeah. Don't tell me. We can talk about all the aftermath when we finish the last episode. Oh, so exciting. It's almost over.
It's almost over.
We'll watch it again and then it'll be over for real.
How do you feel about this being the last meeting between Marie and Oscar, or episodes before the end?
I guess we've just slowly seen the relationship kind of thinning. But I don't know. I feel like it was good. They both obviously wish it could have been different, but we're both going to stick to their guns, of which Oscar can actually get something done on her end, where Marie is just at this point sitting duck. So I guess it's just like, does Oscar anticipate that Marie is going to die, or just that she'll never see her again?
I don't think I would have. I would bet that the monarchy is going to be killed at this point. The thing is, like,
in the
course of the revolution, things just start taking off and they start going like real fast.
Yeah, I guess what is the duration of the revolution? How many? It's not very long, right?
I mean, this is 4 years in between, right?
Okay.
Like, the way that it works is, like, big events happen followed by, like, a month or two of like everything's just kind of chill and you're like, well, maybe it's over. And then another big thing happens and then everything changes.
Well, I guess maybe we'll have a slight time skip after this episode.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have like several time skips.
Now that, well, is Oscar, let's see, still going to be like feigning to be working on her orders or cut ties or the whole French army?
Well,
B gets.
I mean, I can kind of tell you some stuff if that makes it easier.
Is it spoil it?
Would that spoil it? No, I don't need to spoil it for you. Yeah.
Yeah, we can talk about it, I guess, next episode when we, whatever happens. I'm going in blind. You know what's happening. I mean, ultimately, we know where it goes for our characters, but.
Yeah, so this was like July 16th, 1789. King reinstates Nicaire as finance minister and withdraws royal troops from the center of the city. That's what happened. No, that hasn't happened yet. Oops.
Everyone close your ears. Oh, I put a marker for that too.
What? That doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're still in 1789. And the king's not gonna die until like 1792.
Okay.
So 1793. Yeah, so we got 4 years.
Yeah, so Andre goes blind. Oscar on her deathbed. Maybe Rosalie's taking care of her while she's gets time to return the favor that Oscar did for her. By taking care of Oscar in the end.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions? Yeah.
How about you, Joe? Any thoughts here?
I will say that, like, I remember early on there was that one scene where, like, Rosalie gets harassed by that one noble guy. And I think that was Mirabeau. It was, like, a big deal, but we haven't really talked about him at all on the show yet. Maybe that's just, like, an Easter egg. Mm. Like, oh, that's the Comte Mirabeau. Because like, they're showing Robespierre as like the main guy, but at this time he was not the main guy.
Oh, okay. Also, I wonder how old is Duke Orleans at this point. Surely he's got to be getting old, especially for back then.
Yeah, he's.
How old was the last king when he kicked it?
He was 66, 68, something like that.
That's so old for back then. I guess it wasn't that long.
Yeah.
Well, that's episodes 34, 35, and 36.
That's right. Next time is only two episodes.
We're going to be covering. That's right. So make sure you don't watch ahead if you're watching along with us.
Oof. There's so much.
You're going to be like, oh, they were so wrong about this thing.
There's going to be so much. I don't know. I don't really know how the Oscar Andre thing. Do you think they're ever going to address anything? Do you think they're just going to like motion towards it and never do anything?
They'll just be like, oh. It would have been nice, but it didn't work out. I don't. One kiss, maybe tops. That's okay.
I don't even know if you get that. I feel like you're gonna get like you go on ahead, I'll hold them off, and they exchange glances and part ways. Like that's what you get.
Maybe.
He said he would elope with her, yeah. Just in front of her. And then they didn't talk about it.
No, she has no say, I guess.
And then he surrenders immediately after that. It's not the best speech to give to be like, I'm going to kill you and then we're going to run away. Anyway, sorry, Dad.
Yeah. Well, right. This has been the least romantic show we've covered so far.
That's true. Although Chihayafuru is not very romantic at all.
Oh, yeah.
Skip Beat was also not particularly romantic. This one might be more romantic.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to be really interested when we do the rankings.
Rankings. Yeah. We're going to start to have some real differences.
It's going to be so good.
Okay. Yes, it's going to be so good. You know what else is good, everyone? Hint, hint, Joe.
Oh, give us 5 stars. Rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. Leave comments. Talk about us. Post about us on social media. Tell all your friends. Listen to episodes 10 times in a row. You don't need to do that. That really helps us out. Tell people about the show. Tell people about The Rose of Versailles. It's a good show. It's the best show we've covered by far.
Yep.
It's probably going to be in one of my top shows ever, depending on how this ends. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that.
Yep. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And hopefully you guys stick around as this shoujo train keeps trucking along. so many more to cover. Yeah. So we'll catch you guys next week. And on that note,
what did we learn?
Fare thee well. Au revoir or whatever. That's gonna be our sign off this time. What did we learn?
Listen, if people are gonna unjustly execute your boys, just threaten to start a riot. If it's enough people, if you have enough people to threaten a riot, you can probably just get whatever you want, to be perfectly honest. God. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's That's enough people, good. You know, what can they do? The thing about starting a riot, right, is people always want to have the whole riot in one place. But as we know, if you have the whole riot in one place, then like the police can contain you. They can like surround you or whatever. If you have like one riot with like 10,000 people, that's going to be something they can deal with. If you have 10 riots with 1,000 people each, then there's no way they can stop you. They can stop like maybe two tops, but, you know, so just threaten a lot of small riots and then you're literally unstoppable. You could just run the whole, country if you have enough small riots.
This is a Joe recommendation.
Listen, I'm just, you know, I'm not saying you should do this. I'm just saying if you were going to do this, this is how you should do it. No spoilers for what's going to happen.
Oh, God.
But let me tell you, if multiple riots break out in different places, then you're doomed. That's the end of you. I'm sorry.
Gotcha. Okay, so foreshadowing to next episode.
Don't invite your army in if you don't trust them. Don't invite them. You don't trust them. You can't use them if you don't trust them. And if you don't use them, everybody's going to realize that you don't trust them.
Don't have a murdering psychopath as an apprentice when you're trying to make the country better.
Maybe Robespierre should have like a board game night or something so everybody bonds a little bit and one just wouldn't try to stab the other. Oh, can you imagine like what that would be? Like what would game night with Bernard and Sanjus and Robespierre would be like? You just play Monopoly and they all just get mad the whole time about land ownership.
I feel like only thing. I don't know. They need someone else in there. That's a weird. I don't know how they're supposed to be a trio of like mentor and mentorees, but it's a peculiar group.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess Rosalie could keep Saint Just in check. She'd be like,
she needs to sword fight somebody. Sword fight. So there's only 4 episodes left, so Rosalie. Worried. You gotta She's sword nice. Fight somebody. You gotta kill what Saint happened, Just in a sword Rosalie? Fight.
Oh man, you haven't read any of the manga, or has your manga arrived?
It has. I haven't read any of it because I'm waiting for the show to end.
Okay. So I'm like, I wonder how minor of a character Rosalie was. There's like
a picture of a little girl in the last volume, and I'm like, who is this small child? And she's drawn like a little gremlin.
Maybe Bernard and Rosalie have a daughter in their name. Well, no, Oscar's a stupid name for a daughter, so hopefully they don't name her after Oscar, but...
Like, let me see if I can pull up a picture real quick.
I guess if they have a son, they can name
look at
Oscar.
This little fucking weirdo child.
Okay, let's see it.
This is the picture. This is the cover. So, also, Oscar's looking real devious in this, too.
Where are you sharing this? Oh, show it in the chat. Oh, yeah, that looks like a... What the hell is that?
She's holding, like, a cartoon hammer.
What is happening? Is this, like, a spoof?
No, this is the 5th volume. What? This is the last volume. Oscar looks menacing.
Okay, because that's...
Like, she's about to break into
Oscar,
the bank.
Who? What is... It's like a cartoon...
Andre's just doing
that's
a weird pose.
The tiniest little pistol I've ever
it's
seen.
It's so funny. It's, like, such a bizarre...
Oscar looks crazy. Yeah.
I can't wait to read this.
This is... I don't like this.
I cannot wait to read this, like, weird ass.
That doesn't jive with the series that we know. So maybe the manga is more zany or something.
I will be very interested to see what it's like.
Yeah. Well, we'll hear about that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that eventually.
Yep. Okay. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.